Thanks, Serena, for the introduction. As Serena said, I live in South Africa, up in the rural areas in the northeast, a very multicultural area. And I was contemplating about, how our world is very multicultural and how leadership is expressed in different cultures, the different values and the different variations, the different modalities, the different ways that leadership is practiced throughout the world. So I'm really pleased to see everyone, and I'm really delighted to have this conversation and open this conversation with a group of Hoffman graduates. I really think we are in a fantastic position to go into an inquiry about how we are leaders in the world and how we articulate our leadership. Because we're obviously at this time of all this major challenge in the world, and I think a lot of us are looking at examples of leadership across the globe, and I think we can safely say we have the full spectrum of leadership on offer at the moment, from the most appalling, depending on what your values are, to the most inspiring and enlightening. And, leadership really, we could talk about definitions of leadership, and there are absolutely hundreds of them, but effectively it's, I believe it's about creative problem solving to, create positive futures, futures with resilience, and inspiration. So why I said earlier is that I think us Hoffman graduates are well placed to have a conversation about leadership is because the Hoffman tools and the Hoffman process for me represents some quite a generic way of dealing with obstacles in life. They're these fantastic tools that appear to be, something contained that you experience in the process. And, some people leave them behind and never exercise them again. But for those of you who've been joining the quad checks and the webinars, you've taken this work deeper. And you, I hope by now, I'm quite sure, otherwise you wouldn't be here, that you would be able to see the potential of using these tools. So I'm looking forward to going through that this evening. So leaders all across the spectrum, leaders. I know that on this call there are many different types of leaders. There are community leaders, local community leaders, regional leaders. I know we have some global people who are heading up global corporations. We have people who are running local community groups, educational institutions. Parents are really important leaders, aren't they? Especially when we have to assist each other to deal with the world that we're inhabiting at the moment. And I don't know about all of you, but I'm very aware after this whole COVID experience, looking at leadership and how, in what I've seen is that COVID-19 has revealed weaknesses in our systems. So in South Africa, we've been dealing with the impact of the lockdown meant that people were about to starve because so many people live hand to mouth. They couldn't go out and earn the pittance that they earn, so they couldn't buy food. So, we were about to have a mass starvation, and civil society stepped in and started providing food parcels and averted a massive crisis. So that was one weakness in the system. I'm sure you guys in the UK and in Europe could identify weaknesses in your systems that have been revealed by these events. And what's interesting about that is how we respond to these when we see the weaknesses in our systems and what we do about it. I'm fascinated by that. And I think you can look at that at a local level in your own area and regional, national, global. And I think as Hoffman graduates, I believe that we have a common value of wanting a good future, you know, not only for ourselves, but for our children and the generations to come. And there's obviously a lot of wisdom in the decisions we make and the choices we make that don't just serve our immediate needs, but serve future generations. One really incredible example of leadership that I came across when I was working in the UK last year was in Wales. They are the only country in the world who has an office for future generations. And they, you know, every decision, they're there to advise all the government departments around what decisions people are taking and how that's going to affect future generations, which is really critical, because seeing we're on this precipice in many aspects of life, particularly environmentally. The other major event, which globally, which is going on at the moment, is the Black Lives Matter, which I think is a really interesting and quite shattering for many people, quite uplifting for many people, you know, across the spectrum, different experiences. But that again is revealing aspects of our systems that are not working for parts of the population. So parts of the population that are excluded, systems that are unjust or that erase people from social or economic systems. So again, it's a question of leadership, isn't it? So I'm looking at all your wonderful faces in the mosaic of this, and I'd love to get an idea of, you know, how you're involved in leadership and what you're doing. At some point, we'll get to that. But what I'd like to do is, I'm just looking at my notes, and here I found this fantastic quote, which you would have seen on your workbook. Well, I think it's pretty good. Solving problems creatively, in so doing, creating a better future. It's quite a simple definition. I think we can get, you know, much more sophisticated and complex, but I quite like that. The ability to solve problems creatively, and in so doing, create a better future. So, how does Hoffman fit into that? As I spoke about earlier, it's about applying our tools to bring awareness to what might be in the way of us being in our authentic leadership. So, identifying what's in the way, and also identifying a vision for how we'd like to be and what kind of leaders we would like to be. And, you know, in the Hoffman process as a whole, what we are generally gunning for and talking about is an integrated quadrinity. So that's the work we're doing. And for all of those of you who've been your quad check in the mornings, I hope that you've been having an experience of what it feels like in your body and your being to inhabit an integrated quadrinity that effectively allows your spiritual self to be the leader. So I'd like you to contemplate that right now, just for a moment. Let me drop this question into your psyche of how would you like to express your leadership in the world? I'd like you just to let that float for 30 seconds. How do I want to express my leadership in the world? And if you have any, you know, just a single word or a phrase, you can pop that in the chat box. You don't need to. We're going to do a lot more chatting and chat boxing. So if you just want to contemplate it, how do I want to express my leadership in the world? There's two people have said authentically, compassionately, creatively, so sensitively. There's nurturing, compassion and understanding, inclusively, grounded love and wisdom. Be a good example to others in my actions and behavior. Lead with intuition and kindness. Inspire others and with truth. Beautiful. So these are fantastic qualities. And I don't know about everyone else on this call, but I feel that, you know, we're living in such a dramatic time that this can only be an opportunity for a new beginning. So why not get our leadership groove on and get good at it, get clear with it? Okay, excellent. So what I'd highly recommend is that you have a pen and paper at the very least. If you've got your workbook, what I'd like for you to do is to turn to page 2, which is headed Quadrinity Check-In. And let's begin. Let's launch in. I'm going to take you through a quadrinity check that is oriented around a leadership inquiry. So get yourself comfortable, sitting up straight, both your feet on the floor, or if you're lying down with the greatest of leadership elegance that you can muster. And then please close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and then I'll invite you to take notes. So just take bullet points when you take notes. Don't take down a whole long story. But they'll just be notes for you to reflect on later. So eyes closed. Taking a couple of deep breaths. So let's bring ourselves present. Take 3 deep breaths in and out, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And you can sigh your out breath out. Just let the energy of the day settle. So with the exhale, just let go of whatever it is you've brought with you. As you bring yourself right here into this moment with this group of your fellow Hoffman graduates, right here, right now. If your mind has been busy, then just let it settle and be present right here. So I'm going to take you through a quadrinity check. As I said, that's oriented around leadership. And we're going to have a look at which aspects of your quadrinity are perhaps uncomfortable, maybe a bit fearful, troubled, or challenged by the idea of you as a leader or aspects of your leadership. So let's start off with your intellect. Let's call your intellect forth. So see your intellect standing in front of you. Your intellect is your current age, dressed as you are right now. So you're looking into your face as you are right now. And let's hear it from your intellect. What thoughts does your intellect have about your leadership? Let your intellect tell you. How does your intellect feel about you as a leader? And jot some notes down in your workbook or on your piece of paper. What thoughts does your intellect have about your leadership, your leadership style, your ability to lead, your capacity to lead? What are the thoughts that run through your intellect? Is your intellect comfortable with the idea of you being a leader? Confident? At ease? And when you've made a few notes, jotted down a few points, you can come back and close your eyes. And again, take a deep breath in and exhale. And now let's hear from your emotional self. So call in your emotional self and have a look. What age is your emotional self? What's your emotional self's demeanor? Let's ask your emotional self, how do you feel about being a leader? What does your emotional self feel about you as a leader or your leadership qualities? Your ability to lead. Is your emotional self sort of reeling backwards going, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. This is not for us. Is there fear? Anxiety? What does it bring up? What are the feelings? If you picture yourself leading, what comes up for your emotional self? Make a few notes in your workbook. Jot down a few words of what comes up for you. Is there any shame lurking? Any embarrassment, any fear? Any shyness or wanting to hide away? Any dread, perhaps? And then when you're ready, coming back and closing your eyes, taking a deep breath in and exhaling. Exhaling, and as you exhale, here you are in your body. And let's ask the body, what are the physical reactions that come up for you when you contemplate yourself as a leader? Feel into your body. So drop your awareness into your body and note if there are areas of tension or tightness. Have a look what's going on in your chest, with your breathing, in your belly, your genital area, neck and shoulders. What's the body telling you about your experience of leadership? Make a few notes about that, a couple of words. This dear body that will walk out into the world and do your bidding. our faithful vehicle. And when you're ready, you can close your eyes, staying connected to the body. So close your eyes now and take a deep breath in and exhale. Oh, yes, body. Dear, dear body. We love you, body. Now calling forward your spiritual self. Your spiritual self. Seeing your spiritual self in front of you, looking into the eyes of your spirit. This is you. This is your face, your eyes. Beautiful, clear face. Clear eyes, clear field. This is you connected to your wisdom, your creativity, your authenticity, your truthfulness, connected to your intuition, quiet, knowing, wise. Now, from this place of connection to your spiritual self, what if you could bring your whole quadrinity together? What if your emotional self and intellect were aligned, working together, working with the body, working with the spirit? What kind of a leader would you be if your quadrinity was integrated? Make some notes about that. And if you've got some ideas about what kind of a leader you might be, just put a couple of words in the chat box, one or two words that you'd, if you'd like to share with us, if you found something new. What is it that's calling you? Who are you being called to be? Would anyone like to just, here's a couple, calm, wise, and fun. If anyone would like to speak, please unmute yourself and you can share a couple of words about what kind of leader you might be.
I'd like to be the enabler.
Mm-hmm. The enabler. Thanks, Mary Jo. Powerful. Thank you. Anyone else like to share? Oh, here we've got some beautiful ones in the chat. Loving and firm, reassuring, kind, fair, present, honest, nurturing and aware, a healer, fair, courageous and inclusive. That's lovely, isn't it? Fair, courageous and inclusive. Very inspiring. Present. Listen to learn, not just to respond. Fantastic. I love that. Listen to learn, not just to respond. That's a really wonderful aspect. Safe, universal and wise. Oh, he has a beautiful phrase, the servant leader. Isn't that lovely? That evokes so much, doesn't it? Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, great, great. Bold, courageous Hoffman graduates, let us venture forward and take this inquiry deeper. Let's drop it in even deeper. Before I do, here we go. Let me just read what's come up. Allow others to develop their own path creatively with kindness, wisdom, and generosity without domineering or allowing my own ego to take over. Beautiful. That's really great. Allow others to develop their own path. That's like Mary Jo saying, enabling. You know, remember at the end of Hoffman, when we did the meditation about the geese, do you remember that? And there was that beautiful description where we spoke about how the leader of the flock, in the way that they flap their wings, they create an updraft, and I believe they also create these vortices, which means that the ones behind them don't have to work as hard. They sort of get to travel a bit easier in the leader's wake. And I love that. I love that that's how we end, is on that note. Right, there's a few more here in the chat box. Diplomatic, quietly influence, and with empathy. And here, I like this one as well. Second in command, managing all in harmony and awareness. Really interesting. Second in command. Nice, Derek. I like that. And here's from Rob, leadership as not something that I chase, but something that I embody. Yeah, thank you for that. And Sue, calm and measured. I think that's critical. And that, again, is what our Hoffman tools can give us. They can really enable us to be connected to what's required in the moment. You know, and even if we do crack under pressure and we do react, we also have tools to kind of dismantle and to observe and to assess and analyze why we did what we did, right? Things like the transference model and that kind of thing. Okay, onward, people, let's go. Our next point that I'd like to for us to contemplate is, as a child, as a little boy or a little girl, what messages were you given about leadership and about leading? Have a think about that right now. What messages did you get from mum? What messages did you get from dad? Or from school? Or from church? Or, you know, anything in your community? So I'd like to hear from a couple of people. So put your hand up and unmute yourself. And who'd like to share with us messages that you received in childhood about being a leader?
I will.
Or that, yeah, who's that?
Hi, Libna.
Ah, please, go ahead, Libna. Hi, thank you.
Message I got from my mother is, women don't lead.
Yeah.
Mm. Men are leaders.
Men are leaders, women don't lead. Yeah, thanks, Libna. That's I think that's a universal one in, or isn't it? Women don't lead, men are leaders. So take this further, and the obvious thing to do is to link it to your current day experience and see, how does that impact your current day experience? What are some other messages people got? Unmute yourself. Talk to us.
Hi there.
Not to stand out and be different.
Not to stand out and be different. Thanks for that, Sue. Yeah. Not to stand out and be different. That can really take the energy out of things. Kelly, thank you. Did you have something for us, Kelly?
Yeah, mine was also the gender thing. So I was definitely taught by my mother and father that women couldn't be leaders, but I also was educated in a boys' school. So I was surrounded by, that's a whole other story, but I was surrounded by male teachers and male kids. So I never got to be sort of head of a team or head of anything because it was a boys' school. So I guess when I first did the Hoffman, I found it hard to... my first couple of days, I found it hard to refer to myself as a child as she. I referred to myself as it, and I didn't realize that's what I was doing. So, yeah, I've gone on to become a female leader, but I was told that wasn't possible.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks so much. That's great. Yeah, I'd love to hear as well how it affected your leadership in later life, you know, how it affects you as a leader. Anyone else like to share their message? Yes, Paul, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that it's a disguised form of control.
It's a disguised, from dad, it's a disguised form of control. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And can you track that to your current day experience of how that affects you?
Well, I avoid leadership. Yeah. I avoid it. I'm happy to be second in command, but leadership role I shun.
Yeah. And, you know, so the world misses out. We miss out, Paul, on your offering as, you know, if you were to step up into that first place, what might happen?
I have no idea what that would be like because I've kept distant from it for so long.
Okay, great. Well, now's your time. This is it, Paul. This is it. This is where you, if you want to, this is where you can step in. How wonderful. Great, thank you. All righty, let me have a look here. There's some messages, some in the chat. Bossy, not for people like me. Women can't be leaders. Leadership is for extroverts. All of this exclusion, isn't it fascinating, the messaging we got? Here's one, let's see, be authoritarian. Nobody gets a say. That was Alison's mother, right, who is an authoritarian. Nobody gets a word in. And let's have a look. Here we go. I was the bossy sister. My mum always said I had to look after the kids, be accountable, responsible. Right. So have a look at that, of what the messaging there was, is that perhaps you had to do mum's job. So is it perhaps you don't even get a look in at your own leadership, but we're always doing other people's jobs?
I am.
Who's that? Mary Jo. Thanks, Mary Jo. Go for it.
I had five brothers and my role was to serve. And then I enter a convent and in the church, women don't have a role except to serve. So that carried on for a very long time. And that quite affects my view of how the only way to lead maybe is to serve others to do it, not for me to do it.
Thanks, Mary Jo. I mean, you know, there's probably truth in that. There's probably a nectar of truth in that service, isn't it? Because that is what shows up in many people who describe their leadership as to be of service. But again, we can see how it's like a tactical exclusion, you know? And
the difference between being subservient and service, I think, is a big difference.
Yeah, thank you. Perfect, perfect. Great. So everyone, please make sure you make notes on page 3. There's a great page that says messages from mother, messages from father, and the impact that that has on me today. So who else would like to share with us about these messages? I see we've got, oh, here we go. There's quite a few on the chat. I was taught it was either something you were born to do or not. No sense that you could develop the skills. You just have to be born tough, strong, super confident, or you would just never be cut out to do it.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting, hey? I mean, so Susanna, how's that affected your leadership today? It's really important for us to track, draw that thread from these childhood messages into your life today and see where it is that you perhaps stay back in the shadows. Perhaps you censor yourself. Perhaps you modulate your language. Perhaps you curtail your creativity, you know? Are your ideas valued? Do you validate your ideas? How do these messages affect who you are in the world today and what your offering is in the world? Right, let's have a look. Here's another one. Be seen, not heard, versus speak out, be different. Don't conform. The impact is I have an inner voice that's suppressed and dying to get out and a constant inner tension. Thank you so much for that. That's really good. So I have an inner voice that's suppressed. So you can hear that. That's the intellect and the emotional self that's just, you know, locking down. and a constant inner tension, that poor old body that gets to just hold it in, you know. For myself, I grew up in a Catholic school, and so the good girl was how I got by if I was really, really good, you know. So I spent, and also I remember the nuns telling me on my first day in the Catholic school, we had a class, I can vividly remember it, about how our job in life was to be good wives, and how our husbands would be angry if they came home and found the house dirty, you know. So that was what we were being encouraged to aspire to. And honestly, I spent a lot of my life being a good girl. And as we know from Hoffman, the flip side, the rebel, right? That consumed probably a larger part of my life than the good girl did, to be honest. But you know, either way, I'm not in my authentic self. I'm not tapping my intuition. I'm either living out someone else's idea of who I should be, or rebelling against it. So have a look for yourself. How's this in operation in your life? And really robbing you of being fully active and effective in the world, you know, collaborating, working with people, finding your tribe, finding your people, enabling your creativity, enabling other people's creativity. Kaz, let me read a few more from the chat. The impact is that I stay hidden, rarely speak, and I keep out of the way. Okay, so who is that serving? You know, we got to ask that. Who's that serving? How's that helping? You know, how's that serving your vision of the world? And here's another one. The impact today, unless I am accountable, taking responsibility for everything and everyone, I will not be loved. Oh, man. That is hard work. That is hard work. And we do, in doing these kind of actions, you know, taking responsibility for everyone and everything else, we abandon ourselves, we abandon our mission and our vision, right? So this is the greatness of Hoffman. This is why I love Hoffman, because we can identify these patterns that effectively we use because we think they keep us safe. They keep us in relationship, we think. But they come at a terrible cost where we're not exercising our authenticity, and therefore our gifts and our creativity, our brilliance in the world. And why wouldn't we do that? Everyone, I mean, if you look at the world today, doesn't the world need your brilliance? Doesn't the world need your big heart and your creativity? The world's a mess, isn't it? Come on. It needs us. It needs all you good Hoffman people. The world needs you. I'm thumping my desk. I hope that's getting through. Okay, so has everybody written down messages from mom, messages from dad, and the impact that it's having on my life today and on my leadership? Thumbs up? Yes? No? Maybe? Yes, excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, what I'd like you to do, please, is to consider, if you could rewrite what your parents said to you, what would you have your parents say to you today? What would you have had them say to you as a kid? What would have helped you be a good leader today, or effective in the world today, or creative? Write a message down that you would love to have received from one of your parents, both of your parents. Put that down. Remember, Hoffman is a process of reparenting ourselves. So it's imperative that we identify what the healthy parent would have said to us. And again, pop it in the chat box. or unmute yourself and share. Let's share a couple. I'd love to hear from at least two people. What would the message be that you would have loved to hear from a parent? Any takers? Sue, you got your hand up, please.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been encouraged to be myself and to be true. Aim for the stars, rely on no one, but most of all, be happy. That would have helped.
Yeah, to be true to yourself and to be happy. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, that encouragement. Thank you, Sue. Anyone else like to share? Yes, thank you. You unmute yourself. Is it Maurice? Yeah. Thank you.
I wrote down, I trust you to decide. My parents didn't trust themselves or anyone else. And I would love to have heard them say, I trust you to make the right decision.
I trust you to make the right decision. Thanks so much. I love that. Make sure you write that down. Imagine if someone had said that to you. I trust you to make the right decision. Take that into your bones. And I would actually have everyone write that down. I trust you to make the right decision. Because this is something that your spiritual self would say to you. This is something you can really take in. Lovely. Let's see. Here's another beautiful one in the chat. The message I would have liked is, wow, that's such an interesting idea. I'd never have thought of that. Let's try it. Encouragement. Yeah. And here's another lovely one. Just be you. You're enough. And you have lots to offer. Yeah.
I wrote exactly the same as Rob and just hit send as his came in.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks, Jonathan. That's brilliant. That seems really interesting. Yes, let's give it a go. And here's another gorgeous one. We don't mind whatever the outcome is, just give it a go. Right, fantastic. So this is it. These are the message, and you can feel free, people. I give you full permission to plagiarize any of these messages, and I'm sure your fellow Hoffman graduates would agree. Take my message, take my positive message from my healthy parent, from my loving parent, and make it yours. We can all imbibe. We can take this on. And these are the messages that we need to give ourselves. Here's a lovely one. Share your gifts with your precious heart. Lovely. Okay, moving on. Thank you for that. Thank you for all the sharings. They're just wonderful. Okay, now let's move on to this other idea. Do you remember in Hoffman, we had that there was a graphic that we showed on the very first day. It's a bit like a bullseye target. In the center was your spiritual self, and around it were all these circles that cover up our spiritual self. And those were behavior patterns, defense mechanisms, addictions, etc. One of those layers was the roles that we played in our family. So let's nail that down. What were the roles? What were your roles as a child? So bring your mind back to that. Some of the roles might have been the peacemaker, the decision maker, the leader of the siblings, the quiet one, the shy one. I'd like you to think of that in terms of how that impacts your leadership today. Like I mentioned, my role was the good girl, you know? So imagine how that impacts my leadership when I play the good girl and I contract and I don't speak out. I don't speak out against injustice. I don't speak out against the things that are affecting the people that I'm working with or working for. Completely suppresses my creativity. So those two questions, and write them down. What is the role and how does it affect my leadership today? Pop it in the chat box or unmute yourself and let's hear from some people we haven't heard from. Got a couple coming in the chat box. We've got, oh yes, someone's unmuted. Who's that?
Hi, me.
Hey, Mai.
Hi. I was the good girl, but I was also the really independent and self-reliant type of child from a really young age, like to the point where my parents would, like, even now they're like, you know, we were just so shocked that you were that independent. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Great. And how does that affect your leadership today, or you, well, as a leader?
I think it's really hard for me to delegate. You know, like I mean, I'm better at it now, but it took me a really long time to sort of, let's say, loosen up on that and sort of trust that somebody else would do just as much of a good job as I would, or to the standard that I have in my mind, especially with stuff that I need to delegate that I don't do myself.
So, you know, great. Thank you. That's great, Mai. That's really that's critical. If, as a leader, if you can't delegate, you are going to drown, aren't you? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mai. That's brilliant. All right. Let's hear from someone else. Who else has identified a role and how it impacts your leadership today? Anybody out there? Bit of shyness. Yes, Alison. Thank you.
I was the outsider, so I don't really do leadership.
Right. Okay. So that was the role. Yeah. And, you know, those roles seem set for life, don't they? You know? But not true. Yeah. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So, you know, again, it's this idea of false refuge. We think it's keeping us safe. We did it in childhood. It worked for us to a degree in childhood. It kept us safe, or it kept us in relationship with our parents because we may not have had the connection. It's the way that we felt safe in the family. We drag it into adulthood, and it's not necessarily appropriate. So here we are. And you can see how these roles relate to patterns because we take on behaviors to go with those roles. And I'm having a look here in the chat box. I see here there's someone whose name is iPhone who says that their role was to be unseen and now hiding. So that's it, to be the invisible one in the family. And you learn how to do that in adulthood, and you can very easily just kind of camouflage and disappear into the wall behind you, right? We've got someone else here who says the people pleaser. So now I never want to do anything that might upset anyone, right? So you can see how this is really a problem in terms of leadership, because sometimes we have to confront some pretty gnarly stuff. And so have a look at that, those patterns that go with these roles. Okay, so can everyone do that now? Take this to the next step. So you've got your role, you've got how it affects you today. Now I'd like you to identify a few patterns that get in the way of you being a leader. And I'm sure those can come thick and fast. We all know our patterns so well by now. So jot those down. What's in the way of you being a good leader, an effective leader, or the kind of leader you want to be? Some of those beautiful qualities that you put up on the chat. And if you're struggling to identify a pattern, the trick here is that you identify a recent event that didn't go quite as well as you might have liked it to go. And have a look at what happened to you. What patterns did you go into? So jot down some of those patterns. You can pop them in the chat as well. So because we all share patterns, there's a lot of commonality there. And as you're doing that, identify if that pattern is from your emotional self or your intellect. Right? Let's start getting a feel for what's happening in our quadrinity when we're not integrated and when we're out of alignment. Now I'm going to help you out with this. So for a moment, let's close your eyes. I'm going to lead you into a little visualization. You'll remember this from the process, most likely. We refer to it as the body, child, intellect, spiritual self. And this was the dialogue that goes on between your emotional self and your intellect. So, all right, closing your eyes. Take a deep breath in. And exhale. And let's call in our intellects. And a reminder, you looked at this earlier, of what your intellect had to say about you as a leader. Okay, so get a sense of that. And now we're going to call in our emotional self. So see both of them in front of you. Now, let's hear from your intellect how your intellect feels about your emotional self in terms of leadership. What's your intellect saying to your emotional self? Get a sense of that. What's the dialogue? What's your intellect saying? You're so scared. You're so timid. You just don't have what it takes. You've got no resilience. You're so weak. Such a crybaby, full of fear. All you want to do is withdraw and go and sulk and eat ice cream. You don't make sense. You're so emotional. You just flood us with emotions and all your drama. You're just over the top. You're way too much. You're so needy. What is your intellect saying? And you can make some notes about that. Page 7, you can jot down a few bullet points of what your intellect is saying to your emotional self. Because remember, this is the battleground within. And we want to be clear of what battle is going on here. So just jot down a few words about what your intellect is saying to your emotional self. What it's accusing your emotional self of. Always making a fuss. Always needing something. Just seeking attention. All those feelings, just get in the way. Your intellect might be embarrassed about all the emotional selves being vulnerable, or if you get nervous when you have to speak in public, when you have to make a decision. You got it? You're getting some clarity on what your intellect is saying? That's what your intellect might say. Oh, you're such a people pleaser. You know, you're pathetic. Really? Why do you bother? Got no substance. Got no clarity. One might say you're lazy. You're so shy. Just wake up. Come on, come to the table. Where are you? I need you. What are you doing? You're kind of out there, you know, being emotional. Come on, I need you here. Alrighty, and you can draw that to a close. Close your eyes. Right. Thank you, intellect. Thank you, intellect, for letting us know what's going on for you. So deep breath in and out. Exhale your intellect. And just shift your body around a little bit. Just give your shoulders a bit of a wiggle. Because now we're going to breathe in and we're going to inhabit our emotional self. Now, what does your emotional self have to say to your intellect about you as a leader or leadership? You as an active person in the world. All right, so tune in. Get that from your emotional self. Could be so controlling, you just overthink everything. You don't give me any space. Feelings are also valid. It's not just about thinking and intellect. Just want to analyze and analyze. Completely uncreative. You don't give me any space for my creativity. And make some notes about that. Your emotional self might say, would you just shut up and give me some space? Is there procrastination? Can't make a decision. Your emotional self might say, I can't make a decision because you put so much pressure on me. We're always on a timeline. We're always on the calendar. We're always on the clock. You just don't give me enough latitude. You just bulldoze me. You invalidate me. What does your emotional self say to your intellect? And when you've got that, you can close your eyes. Yeah. The body is the battleground of these two. I'm sure you remember in the process the scientific term for the fight or the dialogue between the intellect and the emotional self is the shitty committee. I'm sure you remember that from your process. Ye oldie shitty committee. Alrighty, so there they are. See them in front of you. There they are, both of them, the emotional self and the intellect. They've had it out with each other. You know now what some of the dialogue is. So taking a deep breath in now, let's call in our spiritual selves. 911 spiritual self arrives with a flourish here. Is your beautiful spiritual self standing in front of you. With these two on either side, there's your intellect and your emotional self. So look into your spiritual self's face. There's your spiritual self, beautiful, clear eyes, connected, grounded. Looking lovingly on these two critical aspects, these beautiful aspects of your being, your emotional self and your intellect, who, when they're aligned and in sync, is the most beautiful orchestration. So your spiritual self brings these two together and asks, are you willing to make a truce? Are you willing to work together and to make peace with each other. So if your duality, your emotional self and your intellect are willing to work together, can I have a thumbs up, please? Can I see some thumbs up from... Great, there's quite a lot of thumbs up. And if they, thank you. And if you're not, then just gently bring them together, bring the two aspects of self together, closer to your spiritual self, because they need to be working together and in sync so that your spiritual self can in fact lead the way. And if they're not willing, then have a look. What's in the way? What's the pattern that's preventing you from having that truce? And is it a pattern of the intellect or of the emotional self? So we just keep digging away, because patterns are a way that we try to defend ourselves. It's a false refuge. It's a way that we think we're safe, but we're actually not. We're just in avoidance. All right, now, so connecting now to your spiritual self and breathing that in. And right now in this moment, we ask your emotional self and your intellect if they are willing to have a truce and to have your spiritual self lead the way. So ask that of these three aspects of yourself. Are you willing to work together and let our spiritual self lead the way? And hopefully you're going to get a yes. So let's see a thumbs up if you're getting a yes. Great, I'm seeing lots of thumbs up. Excellent, thank you so much, how lovely. Great, so thanks, saying thank you to your spiritual self. And you can open your eyes now. Well done. Great. Lizzie sent us a message saying that there's a huge storm outside and it's a little bit symbolic. Indeed, we need a storm. We need something to shake us up, don't we? Because we've got stuff to do in the world, people. We've got big stuff to do in the world. All right, what I'd like to take you into now is, if you turn to your workbook on page 8, we've got what I do believe is a real favorite in the world of Hoffman, which is the transference worksheet. So just to run through this now, as a reminder, there's quite a lot in the workbook, and we're skimming through it because you know, these webinars go so quickly. So what I'd really encourage you to do is to go back to your workbook afterwards and, you know, take the inquiry deeper. See what else you can find. So you can have a look and see if you have been in transference with someone in your life. And you can fill your worksheet out. So for now, what I'd like you to do is just identify an event that is relevant to this discussion of leadership and have a look where you had something running with someone else in your life. You might have had a bit of a collision, you know, a disagreement, but it's a transference, just a reminder that transference happens when our reaction is out of proportion to the event. Right? So we're bringing the storehouse of history into an event. So we're not going to go through the whole worksheet now. I just want you to identify that first line, the day, time, and location. It's the person. So I had a negative or positive reaction to. So who is the person? Write their name down. And then make a note of the day or the time and the location. So the objective reality. So I had a negative reaction to John yesterday in the kitchen. Actually, we're going to spend a few minutes. I think it's worth it if we can identify and just go through so that we're just fluent with this transference model, because it's really a cracker, as they say in Australia. It's a cracker. Alrighty. So has everyone got their person, the day or the time and the location? Right, so John, I had a negative reaction to you yesterday in the kitchen. I experienced you as, how did you experience the person you're writing your transference out as? These are your perceptions, your judgments, quotations. So I experienced you as an arrogant know-it-all, or whatever it was. Write that out, I experienced you as. And then the next line is, like my mother, father, surrogate. So I experienced you as an arrogant know-it-all, just like my father. And the patterns I went into were, what patterns did you go into? What happened in this collision or this meltdown or this disagreement? The patterns I went into were withdrawal, having a temper tantrum, vindictiveness, going silent, playing the good girl. What were your patterns? And the next line, which I learned from mother, father, surrogate. Okay, so I think transference is a really critical tool for leadership. Has everyone managed to do their transference? Did you get through it? Yeah, great. And then there's at the bottom, there's a tick box. I'm free of transference, or I'm still in transference. So you can give yourself a tick if either of those apply. If you're still in transference, you want to go back and see what else is there. You basically you can run the model again and put what's going on for you back into that model. I think that transference is just a really wonderful tool, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed, or, you know, having relationship difficulty, because that's obviously relationship is managing relationships or being in relationship is crucial in leadership. And, you know, we want to be as much as possible in our grounded, centered spiritual self so that we're able to respond to situations. And, you know, if there are, I mean, we're always going to have it where we're triggered by people. But if we can work this tool, it can really help us and bring us to compassion as well for the people that we may be triggered by. And which is that step in Hoffman where we, you know, step into the other person's shoes and see what's going on for them as well. So transference is a really brilliant tool to discharge some of the energy that's going on and to bring us into a reminder that when we're having this reaction with this other person, that it's actually not about the other person. What we're doing is we're projecting a parent or a primary caregiver or an influential person from our early years. We're projecting our stuff, our reaction, our historical reality onto the person, you know, the person John or Mary or whoever's in front of us is now our mother or father. And we have now slipped out of our objective reality, and we're now in a fantasy. We're completely disconnected from the reality of what's going on. So transference is really gold, and I really encourage you to make copies of that transference worksheet and keep a copy, you know, in your bag or your briefcase or your diary or whatever it is, so you can scuttle off to the bathroom and nut it out if you find yourself foaming at the mouth or, you know, feeling really wounded or having to withdraw, and just if you need some clear space. Okay, excellent. Right, how's everyone doing? You all right? I've been doing a lot of talking and I haven't given you much opportunity to share, so I will in a moment. Okay, so we've got 15 precious minutes left, and I'm going to invite you to turn in your workbook to this page 10, which is headed Know Thyself. So I've suggested that we use our Hoffman tools to know and to identify areas where we might feel weak or inadequate or fearful or self-doubt. So with all that we've done this evening, I'd like you to just contemplate this question. So I'll just let it float. What is it that we're trying to move away from or to trying to defend ourselves from when we go into our patterns? So have a look at that for you personally. What is it that is fearful in you in a leadership context? What might that be? And can I hear from a couple of people? What is it when you are shutting down and going into patterns where you're not really exercising that authentic leadership? What is it that you're afraid of? Who'd like to share? Sue, thank you. Please go for it.
I've worked through a lot of this, but what I've realized is that I think someone's going to hit me if I get challenged or I get it wrong or I haven't got the right thing or I don't know exactly. Yeah. I don't think there's just going to be disapproval. I mean, I know there isn't, but my child thinks they're actually going to hit me.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thanks, Sue. I really appreciate that. You know, that's very vivid, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
That's been running me for decades, and it's only in the last 2 years that I've kind of been able to. Oh, I think I'm going to die if I say something wrong in a meeting, which is
wow.
You know. And that makes me just over prepare and work way too hard and it's exhausting.
Thank you. And are you finding that you're getting some space from that by applying some of your tools? And
it's interesting because what I've decided to do, and I feel it's the right thing, is I've given up my high-powered, responsible leadership role, and I'm going back to clinical work starting on Monday. And I feel so happy and excited about that. I really do. I don't feel like I'm giving up, and I just feel like, no, I'm actually going in the direction that I want to go.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
And the key was really helpful, actually, that we did.
Oh, brilliant. Good to hear it. That's great. And, you know, Sue, it reminds me of, you know, we often, I see there's a lot of people sharing here on the chat, you know, fear of not being seen, fear of failure, humiliation, fear of being seen, fear of exposure as an imposter. And being exposed as not being good enough. You know, and I want to remind everyone that, you know, these are just such tender vulnerabilities, and there's a lot of room for taking a cushion or a pillow and really holding it as you would hold a little child, you know, a little distressed 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year old, and just taking it to you very physically, holding that and having that conversation with the reminder, you know, right, okay, little Sue, sweet little Sue, I hear you, you're really afraid. I can guarantee you, you're not going to get physically hit right now. We're not in a place. And it's this is how we reparent ourselves, with this tender conversation. You know, it's quite animated. And this is how we heal these wounds as well as doing your recycling, you know. But thank you so much. And here's a really good one, you know, fear of being thought of as stupid. So see how we bring all of this in from childhood, fear of losing control of a situation, fear of being ridiculed, right? These are all transferences. Can you see that, you know? And there's something about, you know, you can feel it in the body. This is, and it's wired into us. And this is why recycling is so important, is to identify, for example, when you are afraid of being ridiculed or excluded or hurt, have a look at that. See how that, where does that live in your body? Located in your body. And when you feel afraid of being ridiculed, for example, what do you do with that? What's the behavior that goes with that? So let's say, for example, I feel afraid of being ridiculed, so I just go silent. Now that's what you want to recycle. You want to recycle going silent. And when you do, and you get that positive alternative, and you enact that behavior, that's where the work starts happening on your neural pathways, and you start rewiring your brain so that you start to respond differently. So this is the first thing, know thyself. This is what we're doing. We are knowing ourselves. So know thyself. And then the next step is be thyself. And this is where our joy is when we, you know, we really can slide into behaviors that suit our spiritual self, that grease the wheels for our authenticity. So really, I really commend you for naming these fears. We've got to know them. We've got to name them. Like with that work that we do on the dark side, we name the dragon. You name the dragon and it loses its power. Fear of rejection, fear of success, as I don't believe I deserve it, is one of the comments in the chat. So brilliant. Very, very good. Fear of being humiliated for getting it wrong. And isn't it good to see everybody else's fears? Because I think we all have them, don't we? You know, I mean, coming onto this webinar, I have fear, you know, and I share it with Serena, and, you know, she reminds me of who I am as well. So we do that for each other. We're just such tender beings. We have to have some compassion for ourselves and some love. So thank you for all that wonderful sharing. So let's have a look. There's a lovely question in the workbook that says, if we can meet this with compassion and use tools to transform, how would our leadership be different? So think about that right now. How would your leadership be different if you are to meet these fears with compassion? How would your leadership be different? What would happen for you? If anyone would like to share, I'd love to hear from you. Who's out there? I can hear someone's unmuted themselves.
Hi, it's Lizzie.
Hey, Lizzie.
Sorry, there could be a huge clap of thunder.
yeah, if I wasn't living in fear of being ridiculed, I think I would have more confidence, and I would actually trust and listen to others. So I wouldn't need to be as vocal and try and defend my position. I think I would be more of a quieter leader. I think I'd be a quieter leader who could trust more and not have to think, right, I've got to be really strong. I've got to be really confident.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much. I have to brace myself. How many of us do that, you know, with like speaking in public or, you know, speaking with people, you know, when you need to make a decision, make a choice, we brace ourselves. So that's a great reminder. Thank you. Or we speak too much. Yeah. Anyone else like to share? I know there's someone out there who'd like to share. Don't be shy. Take a risk. Go on. I dare you. One more person.
Hello.
Hey, Robert. Go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Robert, go for it. We can hear you. Thank you. Oh, you've muted yourself. Unmute yourself, Robert, and then you can. Then we'll hear you. No, Robert.
If you want to chat, I can always read it out. Otherwise, Robert, if you can hear us.
Yeah. Oh, there, Robert. You've unmuted. Go for it. Oh, he keeps being muted. Robert, you might want to put it in the chat because you keep muting yourself.
That should work.
Yes, speak, Robert.
No,
it's not working. Exactly. Oh, please, well, please, Robert, please put it in the chat because we didn't hear you.
You can read it out.
Yeah. All right, one more person with a quick, punchy message for us.
I think it allows for... Am I on?
Yes, you are, Rupert. Thank you.
Oh, right. Sorry. I think it allows, if I let the barriers down, then I become a better listener and I allow for better connection.
Mm. Yeah, lovely. A better listener and a better connection. Thank you.
And then you go to a deeper level with the people you're talking to because you can listen.
Mm.
Listen, they feel they're being listened to. And in a meeting or whatever, you achieve so much more.
Yeah. Lovely. Thanks, so Rupert.
Allowing everyone to go to a deeper level, I guess, but you have to allow it and you have to let a lot of your baggage go. And when you let that baggage go, other people feel safe. So it's kind of magic, really.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. Really great point. It's very visual, isn't it? As the moment you let go, you allow other people to let go. So it's all about giving, sort of giving permission, isn't it? You know, in a very subtle way. Great. Thank you so much. Good. Love that.
Okay.
Great. Brilliant. So just a few in the chat. Let's see. Ease and flow, confidence and joyful, with confidence and belief in myself. Brilliant. Okay, everybody, our time's almost up. Please close your eyes. Let me take you on a little journey to round this up. And thank you so much. I've, you know, it all goes far too quickly for my liking, but I really appreciate you being here and doing this work. So closing your eyes, taking a deep breath in. Yes. And really breathing in a message of gratitude for yourself for doing this work. Let the gratitude fall through your body like rain. And see in front of you your spiritual self. And acknowledge your spiritual self now as the leader of your quadrinity. And what this means is the leader of your quadrinity is leading you down the right road. This is the road of self-love, self-responsibility, authenticity, truth, you know what your right road looks like. And this is you embodied. So really feel your spiritual self embodied with all those beautiful qualities that you are just identifying. I'm going to read some of them out because they're so vivid. Stillness, calm, dynamic, loving, vulnerable, an example, being visible. Here you are in your spiritual self, feeling these qualities, experiencing them. Speaking out, sharing, responding instead of reacting, having better connections, listening more, confidence and belief in myself, ease and flow and leadership coming naturally. Confident and joyful. So breathe that in and feel into what your own qualities are of your spiritual self as leader. And really feel that in your body. Take the posture of your spiritual self as the leader of your quadrinity. Take the posture, move your body right now. And feel into, what does your spine feel like? What are your shoulders doing? What's your neck, your head doing? Is your throat open? Is your heart and your chest open? Your body, what are you doing? Can you feel the vitality in your being when you let your spiritual self take the lead? So feel yourself now filled with light, filled with possibility. Feel yourself in this community, this beautiful community of loving people, courageous people, willing to peel away the layers of defense, to peel away everything that's being in the way of you stepping into your real, authentic leadership. With whatever that task is, if it's being a parent, a business person, an entrepreneur, a community leader, a creative, someone who works with children, whatever it is that you want to do in the world that brings your gifts to the world. Feel the joy of the possibility of that in your life. And take a deep breath in. And then exhale. And another deep breath. And then as you exhale, and I'd like you to pick up your pen, and on the very last page of your workbook, page 11, I'd like you to make a couple of brief notes about what it was you noted about your embodied spiritual self leading your quadrinity. What did you just experience? Make a couple of notes. I'm really excited to have all of you on the call, and I'm really, really excited about the possibilities in your life and you know, stretching yourselves if you want to, discovering more about your leadership and what's possible in your lives, you know, melting some of that fear, transforming some of the defenses and things that have held you back and kept you so safe, so-called safe. There's so much life to live, so many possibilities. So now it's time for us to close. So thank you so much for spending this time with me. Thank you for listening and participating so beautifully. It's really wonderful for me to see your faces in this mosaic, and thank you really for sharing on the chat. And I'd encourage you to take that workbook and do some more work on it, because we skipped over a few things. We skipped over vicious cycles, for example, which is very helpful. So, thank you, and much love to everyone. And I'll see you on the next Quad Check, no doubt.